They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is Garrison Wynn. If that name sounds familiar, you have been in the business world for some time, because Garrison Wynn is an accomplished speaker. For 28 years, he's been talking about leadership and change and articulating generational differences. And I just heard him speak for 1 hour, and it was an exciting conversation. Garrison, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful you're making time for us.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Thank you for having me.
It's 28 years.
Yeah, long time.
You learned in 28 years?
I've learned that there are certain airlines I can't fly. Would be one thing. I'm not going to name any airlines at all, but I did get here, by the way.
Yeah.
I've also learned that people have changed over time. I mean, what one group of people thought 10 years ago, that has shifted. So I'm seeing that shift. I've shifted my message with them, I think, a little bit. Yeah, so for sure.
And during this time period, 28 years to be able to do this, and you've been with some of the biggest companies. You've spoken to the NFL, you've spoken to Forbes, all over the place.
Yeah.
You're an Amazon best-selling author. What motivates you, Garrison, to do this, other than the money? That's always cool.
Well, you know, I
but you're seeing things change in front of your very eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the people. I really enjoy being with the people. I like helping people. I get a lot of feedback from people. I learn as I go along. You know, I've gotten into industries where I thought I knew a lot, and then after a year, I knew much more than that. So I really like learning. We partner with Gallup and Department of Labor. We gather information. We partner with Caterpillar Safety. We gather lots of information and synthesize that where it's easy to understand. And I just like doing it. And I like all the travel to some degree.
A performer's a performer.
Right. Yeah. I like doing it. I like being on stage. I've been on stage most of my life. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Garrison Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, who's our guest. You did a piece today on generational differences in the workplace.
Right.
What are some of the things that can build trust and understanding in between an employer, employee, or co-employees?
Well, people need to see their input in your solutions. If you're going to be influential, someone has to see their input in your solutions. It proves that you value them. It proves that you heard them. If that basic thing doesn't happen, it doesn't matter how good your idea is. I can convince some younger or older person that you can help them if you didn't do that.
We think differently, don't we, by generation?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So give us some of those examples that you were talking about earlier. I think it was fantastic. You know, the 25-year-old, the 35-year-old.
Yeah. If I'm in my 20s, I need some help. I mean, my mom brought me to work. I'm in my 20s. I just, you know, I'm new starting out. If I'm in my 40s and in 50s, Generation X, I did it all, you know. I made his ham sandwich at 1, I mowed the lawn at 2, and, you know, I shot a deer when I was 5 years old. I'm Generation X, and you should do that too. And people in their 60s believe things should have been handled before they've arrived. Who's handling this? Is someone handling this? And I think as you get older, stuff just flies out of your mouth uncontrollably. My dad was in a restaurant one time, and he goes, "You all, is a band playing." He goes, "You all take requests? Well, then play something good." You know. So I think it's possible that the time you're in your life, and that moment in your life, you feel and believe certain things, and that'll change as you go along. But the key, Michael, is to honor where people are.
Honor where people are. That's so important.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we've experienced in the Midwest, in particular, and I was sitting down with the Secretary of State for the state of Iowa, and I asked him about businesses, and he said, we had a record number of LLCs created just last year. And you were talking about quitters, people who are quitting their jobs.
Absolutely.
And we've seen this, I think, replicated across the country where people are saying, I want to work, but I just don't want to work for you.
That's right.
And so they'll go out and start their own business.
Right.
Are you seeing that too?
Absolutely. First thing is people do not quit companies as much as they quit the boss. They really don't like the way they're being managed. So that's the real truth. But as they go out and on their own, they like the freedom of it. They like the ability to be able to call their own shots. They like the ability to be able to do things on their own terms. You know, and as simple as that sounds. But to get real, many of those people would never have done that had they been effectively managed. Because being an entrepreneur is absolutely not for everybody, and many people get into it these days and find they can't do it.
Yeah. One of the things that I've heard time and time again is you can't really manage people, but you can lead people. Is that accurate, you think?
You know, that's a lot of verbal volleyball there, Michael. And you're really good at that. But I think that managing someone is basically about letting them know that here's what we need to do, here's how we should do it, okay? Leading someone is clearing a path for them for they can be successful, removing obstacles to allow them to move forward, and then giving them the direction, having a good enough direction that people want to go there.
Yeah, and one of the things that you said, Garrison, was that people don't quit jobs, they quit people.
Right.
And
quit the boss.
Yeah, the boss. And how many of us have worked for that terrible boss?
Oh, right.
And either we were fired or we quit.
Right.
And we were happier afterwards.
Right.
What about happiness in the workplace? What do you think creates that?
Well, I think it's a lack of immature management. Now, what I mean by this is a lot of people make management decisions that are good for them. They look good to their boss. They look good to people around them. Maybe they're looking good to the customers, but it isn't really that good for the people that work there. So immature management is like I'm doing something to make myself feel better. I'm making that decision without any considering how the people feel. So happiness a lot of times is caused in a company by leaders who say, okay, well, why don't you tell me what you think success looks like for you, and let's try to match it and align it with what our goals are. If we can get what we want to do aligned with the way that you'd like to do it, then we're going to have really happy, engaged employees. So people are happy when they feel like they've got some freedom. They're also happy when they feel that the people that they're working with or working for are interested in how they feel. And as simple as that is, you know, the only way to really, you know, to really be happy is to enjoy what you're doing because you're present in the moment. You're not thinking about the future. You're not thinking about the past. What does it feel like to be okay right now? And it's hard to get that okay present moment if someone feels like the people around them, that their motives are just not helpful for them.
One of the things you said that I thought was interesting as we talk about generational
right.
differences
right.
is this: if you don't have a young person on your team, you don't have a good team.
Oh, absolutely. If everybody in your team is just like you, it's a crappy team. It's a terrible team. If you have a team, a football team, and it's all left tackles, that's a terrible team. So a bunch of 300-pound guys is not going to win a football game. So, yeah, you have to have people with diverse backgrounds, diverse ideas. And when it comes generationally, people who've lived, you know, in a different time, the greatest innovations that the world's ever known all came from people under age 26. And that's Einstein, that's Steve Jobs, that's Leonardo da Vinci, Sir Isaac Newton, all best ideas for age 26. So having a young person on your team is critical, just critical.
One of the things that we've talked about and heard from other people is that young individuals under 35, for example, have a set of value systems. And if the company doesn't hold those same strategic
right.
values, they're not going to work there. Accurate?
That's true. Remember right now that 52% of people between the ages of 22 and 32 live at home with their parents.
Wow.
That's the most since the Great Depression. Also, 44% of the age group is not even looking for a job. So there's a finite number of people you can hire now. That's half a generation not looking for work. So they're able to dictate terms like they never have before. And they're getting more money and more opportunity and more flexibility. And that's just based on supply and demand. And there are a lot of people who aren't going to go to work. And matter of fact, people in certain age groups, late 50s, early 60s, they got four kids. They got two home kids and two away kids. We got home kids. I mean, somebody's got to mow the lawn,
right?
Somebody's got to get this stuff done, right?
Yeah, it is a strange phenomenon where that many people are still living at home or just not actively looking for work. I mean, we see that every time.
But think about this. If I'm 27-year-old yeah. Hunter, and I have a rent-free room I live in, a credit card, a laptop, and an iPhone, why do I need a job?
Right.
Who needs a job?
Are we creating our own problems?
Yeah, it was parenting. And what happened was, and my generation did it, the idea was You know, we swooped in and solved their problems before they had them. Didn't let them fail soon enough. We told them life was fair, which of course it's not. And when they finally failed a little bit too late, they didn't have the resilience. They didn't bounce back. And that made them more sensitive. They're very easily offended. In many ways, we've extended adolescence. You may have encountered the 25-year-old person that has a middle school mentality, a middle school mentality. Yeah.
One of the other things that I thought was very, very eye-opening was the fact that you were talking about how we gather our news today.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And what that contributes to the animosity
that
people have. Talk to us about
that. I don't know why more people don't think about this. So if you have your phone in your hand out there and you look through your news feed, it's based on your searches. So the internet and Google and all that, they look at what you're searching for and they give you more of what you already believe. They're not trying to teach you anything. They're going to solidify what you already believe. That keeps you plugged in. So that means that your news feed and somebody else's news feed are not the same. And that means you're going to have more arguments than ever because you don't have the same information. You don't have the same foundation. Back in the day when Walter Cronkite was talking, we watched Walter Cronkite. We could both argue with what we thought about what Walter said or what the news said. We now have our own different customized news. Of course, we're not getting along.
And that does contribute to a huge amount of discord.
Absolutely.
In the country. Garrison Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. And yes, we will have links to his website up on the radio blog. Final question for you, Garrison. What do you like the best? I kind of asked this before. As you're teaching people, because you are a teacher.
Right.
And to be able to teach, you have to learn first.
Right.
And I could tell by your presentation, you spend a lot of time in the world of data.
Right.
How important is that?
Extremely important. It really is. But more important than that is getting people to be able to absorb the data.
Mm.
I was a business guy for many years. I was a pro stand-up back in the day. I really make things fun. I talk about real information. As a matter of fact, my message is kind of heavy. It's a heavy message that's lightened with being entertaining. That's the truth. If I took the comedy of my message, people would they'd all leave, you know. So it's because but comedy is truth only faster, really, you know. I mean, there's a lot to that. That some things are entertaining and funny because they're true, but also the truth is tough. And a matter of fact, you know, people can be really offended by the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you have to be very careful. I mean, the reason we are offended sometimes is because things are true. If someone said, Garrison, you're a redheaded Nazi, I'm not so offended because I'm neither redheaded nor Nazi. But if they said, hey, you're kind of a middle-aged guy that's kind of talks a lot and full of himself, okay, a little offended. I might be a little offended
by that. A little truth.
That's right. I'm a little offended by that. I think I just offended myself, Michael, on your show. But so I think that's a really important thing to think about. So I really enjoy being able to take information and synthesize it, you know, where it's palatable, where it's consumable. So yeah.
Your points today, I feel like Columbo.
Right.
Okay, I've always got the last question, and then I lie to you, and I go, I got one more question
right.
as I'm going out the door. You got to be a certain age to understand that, right? So one of the things that I think was so important is that the information that you were giving was funny. I mean, the information was serious,
right.
But you were doing it in this very funny, comfortable way. The people that you were speaking to, who are many are business owners, many right. are individuals who are out there working every single day.
Right.
I saw it in them. They really appreciated hearing the truth, but in a whole different way. There wasn't somebody saying, this is the way, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And so how do you hone that ability? How do you create that? Is it
well,
the stand-up
years? That's actually a real hard question to answer, but I think it's a really good question. So I was a pro stand-up for maybe 7-8 years, and I wasn't famous, but I toured with famous people, you know, in famous places. And I learned as a stand-up how to engage an audience and how to connect with an audience. And I was very good at it. I was successful, you know, at doing it. When I got in the business world, and I was young, my boss you know, quit his job, and I got my boss's job, and I was really, I didn't earn the position that I had. I didn't talk too much about that today, but I had a big job with a big company that I just got because my boss screwed up. So I learned a lot in a very short period of time in the business world and in the stand-up world, and I kind of put things together to kind of deliver information. That's the obvious foundational part. But what I try to do is I have a formula, and it's I don't talk about it a lot, but I'll tell you, Michael, and all the people listening today. It's called point story point, and basically I am sandwiching a story between two points. Those points may be a similar point or the same point with a story in between. And so that way,
which is much more memorable.
Yeah, much more memorable. So I've got these vignettes. These vignettes are hooked together, and people really do. The most amazing thing to me is me getting emails like, "I heard you speak in Atlanta in 1996, and you said this." Like, really? What's going on? What? You know? So people can remember, but people remember things if it's entertaining. People remember things if they enjoyed it in the moment. So it's one thing to give a keynote speech and have people impacted as they walk out the door, but they got to like it when it's happening. Because if they like it in the moment and they like it when it's happening, they're much more likely to remember what they liked learning, what they enjoyed learning.
Garrison Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, our guest here on the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for spending time with us, Garrison. It was not only enjoyable, but it was impactful. And the information that you were able to give to so many people, I believe will change some people's way of doing business, which is actually the bottom line that we all hope for. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michael.
Garrison Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, did he ever light it up, not only in that conversation, but during his presentation to the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association at their annual meeting in San Diego, California. Wow. And yes, we will have links to Garrison's website up on the radio blog. And that is a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, produced, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Garrison Wynn, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.